thanks for agreeing to speak with us today.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
We heard just a couple of weeks ago that you were completing a documentary on Stan Bogdan, one of the great craftsmen of our time and maker of really superb fly fishing reels, who, of course, died last April. Can you tell us about your project and some of the personal story behind it?
Well, I was invited to go fishing with Stan, and I usually have cameras along with me when I'm fishing to film for my series, What a Catch. And Stan loved the attention, so we agreed that I would continue filming him, which I did over a period of a few years. And we had a lot of turns in the road along the way, and so it makes for a very touching story because friendships and fishing buddies are a very unique relationship and very colorful. And so I think that that's what comes through in the film. There's a lot of emotion.
You're a well-known TV host, of course, and a director, and I believe you're founder of Casting Recovery of Canada. Is that right?
Yes, thank you.
And also, you have a website at whatacatch.net, and you're a casting instructor too. So you've done a lot of different things in your life. I'm wondering why you felt it was important to do this film in particular.
Well, when you drive by a river or a body of water and you see a few people out fishing together, a lot of the time, unless you're an angler, you don't realize what an important relationship that is that you're witnessing. And so I wanted to bring light to how important a fishing buddy is, and it's hard to find a fishing buddy. And once you do find them, they're usually a like-minded person. And you share your life with that person. It's almost a sort of marriage. And so I think that we all have a story to share about a fishing buddy. And so this was my story, but everybody's got a story of a fishing buddy.
And Stan himself was seemed to be a pretty secretive person. Is that accurate, or was it just that he was so hard at work building reels that only the people within that that set really understood who he was?
He was a complicated man, to say the least, very gregarious, but at the same time, as you say, fiercely private. So the people in Nashua, New Hampshire, wouldn't know that he was a world-renowned craftsman. He really sort of kept to himself, but then in certain circles, Atlantic salmon fishing circles and conservation areas and anyone who collected his reels, he could tell you who owned each reel, when they bought it, where they bought it. So once you became part of his inner circle, he wasn't a big man, but he loved big.
That's great. Yeah, I love the part of the film, by the way, where you secretly stash one of his reels in your jacket and attempt to walk out. That's a terrific scene.
Oh, and I almost got away with it. Yeah, that particular reel, he built 10 of them. Only 10 were ever made. And those were the last reels that were made in his shop by hand before he passed away. And it was the bane of his existence to get these reels finished. He cursed them, but he loved them at the same time. So there are 10 lucky people out there who have these beautiful reels.
So it really was just about impossible to get one of his reels, even especially later in life, or was it always the case?
If you were a blonde woman or a woman, you would move up the list a little more quickly. He really had an eye for the women. And so sometimes some of his clients would get their wives to write him a letter and send a picture and say, oh, please, can I have one of these reels? And that would actually work. I think that often Stan would have Steve, his son, step in and say, oh, look now, Dad, this person's next on the list, you know, because it's a handmade time-consuming art form. They really didn't produce very many, and certainly not very quickly. And so the people who own them really know what they have and love them.
Sure. One of the more, I thought it was pretty poignant parts of the film was when Stan talked about his choice to devote himself completely to his reel making, and it sounds like there were some real costs of doing that, some very personal costs.
Yes, he did regret that he didn't have a little more balance in his life, but I think we're all guilty of that. I made a choice in my life to pursue my career rather than a family because I didn't feel that I could do both. And I think in Stan's case, he couldn't help but pursue his passion with the reel, but it left him feeling guilty about not spending as much time with his kids and his wife, whom he adored. But in the later years, he was able to, be there and I think make it all right to the best. What can you do? Those years are gone. But I think these are common themes that a lot of us have to, it's choices, what choices we make in our lives.
Sure. And apparently he made a choice on a trip in Bermuda, I believe, where it really caused a big rift in your relationship. And much of the film is about how you, or at least the last part of the film is about how you overcame that rift that was created.
Well, I grew a lot because of my relationship with Stan. He, his friendship was very dear to me, and we did have a falling out, and a major falling out. And it was reconciled, but it changed how I looked at him. I had always seen Stan through rose-colored glasses. He was my sports hero, my fishing buddy. He could do no wrong. And it wasn't fair to him. I put him up on a pedestal. And so one day I realized I saw him for the man that he was. A wonderful man, but a flawed man, aren't we all? And it caused a lot of heartache, and I ended up having to come to terms with getting to know the real Stan Bogdan, the man. And in the end, I did. And so it's a very sweet, sweet journey that we took together.
It's apparent in the film, too, that you shared an appreciation for parts of fly fishing that I think you can only come to understand if you've been doing it for a long time, and probably number one is really not about how many fish you're catching. Certainly as Atlantic salmon fisher people, you're used to not catching fish, but it's obvious that was a connection that you made. Were there other things that stood out about him as a person that bound the two of you together, and what do you think his legacy will be as a craftsman and as a real icon in the sport?
Well, there's no question that the reels are a Cadillac. I mean, he built something that was innovative and sexy. It's just a beautiful piece of handcrafted art. So that is his legacy. But he also had, great friendships, which is a legacy. You know, he was dearly loved by lots of different sorts of people. He could be friends with the guides in the guide shack and, lords over in Europe. I mean, he could sit at a table with anyone. So that's a real legacy.
And where can we see the film? Is it complete now and available for viewing?
Well, I would be happy to release it to you if you want, there's a link that I will send that you can make available. I'm not selling the film. This was a project from the heart, so it's not something that I'm doing for profit. So if you want to share the link, I'm in Bermuda right now, but I will be going to Canada and having meetings with different networks so that they can air the film as well. And I will make the dates known on my website when it will be playing. My distributor has it, and it will be airing overseas as well, but I don't have dates on that as of yet. But if people want to watch it right now, I guess you could make it available to them through the link.
Well, terrific. We would be very happy to do that. We appreciate you letting us do that.
It would be wonderful to get the story out.
Well, it is a wonderful story, and we saw the film for the first time today, and it really is worth watching. It's a great tribute, and congratulations on doing really fine work there.
Thank you, Marshall. I appreciate the support.